but I'm such a big believer of your environment is so important, of who you're hanging around. Do they help you or do they hinder you? Do they support you or do they pull you down? The goals that you want to achieve, the people that you hang around, and once again, it's so important.
You're listening to Elevate, the official podcast of Elite Agent for real estate industry sales professionals, property managers, and leaders. With thanks to our partner, Connect Now, Elevate brings you the best tools, thinking, and strategies to elevate your results. For more information about how Connect Now can make moving easier for your clients, visit connectnow.com.au. And to get new episodes of Elevate directly to your inbox, sign up at eliteagent.com/subscribe. Here is your host, Samantha McLean.
Hey, hey everyone, it's Sam here. Today's guest is a very well-known coach in the real estate industry and a true master of mindset, time and money management. James Short has been a coach, trainer and presenter in our field since 2009, earning a bit of a reputation as a go-to expert for principals, directors and leading agents looking to elevate their businesses. That's not all. He's also an award-winning business owner, Ironman and ultramarathon athlete. James is a published author and a sought-after speaker, and he even hosts his own podcast, which I've had the privilege of being on. But today, we're turning the tables to tap into his wealth of knowledge and learn how we can master our minds, focus our time, and even improve our finances a little bit. So, James, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much for having us. Very excited. I'm not sure where we're going to go today, but we're going to go down lots of good rabbit holes, and I'm very excited.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, like it could be anything now. Normally I would send questions, but I thought, no, he's a pro. He doesn't need them. So yes, anything could happen.
Yes, but I'm excited because we can cover.
We can pretty much go anywhere you like. But let's start with the moment. So first of all, we've had a bit of a shift in the market again just recently. How would you describe the current state of the market, and what are some of the key trends you're seeing with some of your clients right now?
Yeah, so where I cover everywhere from, a lot of my clients are from Sydney all the way up to, Brunswick Heads and sort of that whole East Coast. And what I've noticed is days on market is just blowing right out, particularly in the Northern Rivers. I'm just at Lennox Head, and I see just in our own backyard, days on market is gone from, not from a couple of weeks, but months and months and months. And you can see that trend. And there are buyers out there, but there's obviously expectation that a lot of vendors still have those expectations around COVID. And we know what happened in the Northern Rivers through COVID, and it's just how it's gone. It went through the roof. But what we're noticing now, that's come off plus a little bit more, and it's just expectations and managing those expectations. And then in the Sydney market, there's a lot more coming onto the market, but still, once again, the buyers are out there being quite picky. We're in the market actually at the moment, looking to get a little investment property down in Coogee in Sydney. That's sort of our old stomping ground, and so, just so we can go in between the two. So it's just interesting sort of being part of the process, in the buying process, and also just seeing it from a bird's eye as well.
Yeah, that's interesting that you say that actually, because last year I saw the real estate industry from a buying and a selling process. What are you finding? Tell me the goss. Tell me the good, the bad, the, you know, I don't really want to talk. I really need to change the names to protect the guilty or innocent.
Yeah, like it's really interesting, right? Because we're looking at a property, I think my wife, and she will testament to this, she's in the top, I think, 1% or 2% on realestate.com search engines. And so she doesn't do socials, but she's on real estate. And she's continuously scrolling of what's on the market. And she's my buyer's advocate. And she knows what's happening on the market. And so what we've noticed is it's really interesting. I'm a big believer of follow-up, and noticing the different levels of follow-up agents have or actually don't have in relations to when you put inquiries out, when you put in offers. We put in for a property of $50,000 more up here, and the vendor took the lower offer. So it's, once again, it's really interesting on how agents are working, sometimes in the best interest for the vendors, but obviously sometimes there could be a secondary gain that some agents might have. So I find it's a real hit and miss. There's some really great operators out there, and just being updated, hey, James, just to let you know, this is where we're at. How are you going? And it's just like, wow, cool. That's amazing. You know, just to take you on that journey. Hey, just let you know, offers here, this, there. And that in itself, even after it's sold, hey, we've got this coming up. You're looking like that follow-up, I think, is so important. And because it's an easy phone call to do or even a text message to do, it's not hard, but I think it's a lost art where if agents can just really harness that follow-up, it just makes, for a buyer, it just makes the process so much more updated information, particularly if you're going from, like, if you're not in the location of purchasing as well. You know, a lot of these stuff that I've, for example, I was down in Sydney, I was doing walkthroughs with the video so I could send it through to my wife last week. And the agents were checking in, following up. Do you need any more information? And that, it's not all emphasis on me of going through, but it's also that support from the agents as well. So lots of different stories, both poles apart as well. So it's got some good stories and obviously some not so good stories, but hey, that's what you get, unfortunately.
That's life, yeah. So what are you saying to the agents that you're coaching right now about, like, if days on market are sort of blowing out? And I heard some crazy, I read it. There's as many properties on the market now as there were in 2021, you know, when they were kind of flying off the shelves. And I think you just alluded to that, but they're not flying off the shelves. And somebody actually said that they overheard someone saying, I wish we could go back to the pandemic days, which, you know, is just not an option for 99.999% of the population. None of us want to go back there. So let's just say you're an agent at the moment and you've got this property that's been on the market for a while. What would you be saying?
I want to get it super clear up front is I'm someone that doesn't help agents with their scripts and dialogues, but I help agents with their mindset and communication expertise. And if we take the sales process out, and if we look at a vendor and if we look at a buyer as people and look at expectations and how to manage those expectations, because I find what it's really interesting is those who've been in the industry for a while, they almost become institutionalized. And what I mean by that is their lack of awareness and engagement with the buyers and the vendors, there's so much, I guess, lack of awareness of where that person is at, particularly if they haven't bought or sold themselves, because it's such an emotional journey for both the vendor and the buyer. It's actually understanding what's going on in their head and how to actually look at, well, what do you think that person is thinking and about to think? And so how do you get that one or two steps ahead of that thought process and coming back to the person? It's like you haven't got back to them. How do you think they're feeling? You haven't spoken to them in 2 weeks. Where do you think their head is going? And so that's where I sort of really step in and to coach the agents of understanding those expectations, understanding of putting yourself in the shoe, not necessarily the shoes, but being aware of what the vendor and the buyers are going through in this journey, because it's such a big gap. And when you're not aware, and this is where it's all about self-awareness, you can really do the damage on, one, the sale, but also to your reputation. And that's pretty big. So where I'm really educating them is to really to over-communicate, because I believe people sometimes have this expectation, oh, I don't want to annoy them. They may be busy. It's like, it's better to over-communicate than actually not communicate, because then I call the expectations are like this and they're mismatched, they're not aligned. And so when we can come from that awareness, then it's, you can have easy conversations. Because so when the time comes and you need to have those, what I call courageous conversations, you can have those courageous conversations and it's like, okay, yeah, they're fully aware, they're fully communicated where the thing's at, this is the feedback, da, 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 and then that makes it an easier transaction for all parties involved.
Yeah. I love that, because my experience was I was getting fed a lot of scripts and dialogues. And you're right, it is an emotional, you know, like, yeah, can you imagine me sitting there going, I'm pulling your face if you're just listening to this.
I've heard that one.
Yeah, that's it. Heard that one from multiple people. And like the glib quote of, well, you buy and sell in the same market or whatever the current, it's not helpful. You've really sort of got to take your empathy to a different level, I think, in this market, because, you know, I was just talking to a friend of mine the other day who bought and sold in the Hunter Valley, and she lost money on, but fortunately where she was going, she didn't need the premium. But you know what I mean? It's just sometimes the things that have been out there for years just aren't helpful when it comes to someone's feelings, I guess. I guess that's what I'm trying to say.
I think it's so true, right? Because no matter what industry, people can actually, when you're in something for so long, you're not aware of the emotional journey that people go through, particularly if it's their first time buying or selling, or even if they haven't done for a long period of time. And I remember we sold this year, actually, we sold our family residence of, 21 years in Botany in Sydney. And I was down there for the auction. And I myself, awesome agent, we all know Marnie Senior from McGrath, she sold it for us. And I was just bursting in tears. We got an amazing price, but it was an emotional journey. I did a cracker testimonial, bawling my eyes out. Gosh, it's so embarrassing, but hey, I'm always up for a big cry. But once again, dealing with agents day in, day out and that process, but actually being at the end of it, it was very emotional to actually go through that process myself. So yeah, when you're in it and then you actually go through it, you can have a really understanding of what the buyers and the vendors go through.
Yeah. So what do you reckon the most critical mindset shift is for agents right now? The market shifted. What do you think the mindset shift for an agent must be right now?
I think the biggest thing is the belief in the process. I mean, we all understand following the process, trust the process, but it's that little voice inside the head that can do so much damage. And thinking that because the days of market are blown out, thinking, is this ever going to sell? And I'm just hitting my head against the brick wall. No one's getting back to me. So it's really overcoming that internal adversity. And we go through an awesome model, which is called the ABCDE model. And what it does, it just paints it into a different perspective, because sometimes when we have adversity, we can start to create a belief around that adversity. And when we start to create our belief around this adversity, what happens is it can have a consequence to that. And then what we do is that once we have that self-awareness, then we can dispute that adversity, belief, and consequence and reframe it. And then once we reframe it, we can then give energize to this new belief. And then therefore you become bulletproof and you get back to the consistency that we need to be doing over time. And I think that's the biggest thing is really overcoming that internal mindset, that adversity that's going through. You know, we all have that little voice. Yes, the 1,000 little voices going off at once. But how do we actually manage that? And so I think that's what I'm noticing is the biggest thing. I did a session, a group session in Sydney last week. We went through this process and like you could just see like pop, 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 that everyone's mind was just blown away because it was so relevant. And it was the relevance was also open to the personal world as well. I think that's the biggest thing right now is just dealing with that internal dialogue.
Yeah. So speaking of the personal world, I did mention at the top of the show that you're an Ironman and an ultramarathoner. And I think the ultramarathon was a few years ago, like back in 2019 or something like that. So what made you do that? I have another question for you, but I just want to ask you, like, what made you do it first?
I'll take you back to where beginning because it shares context with, I guess, the things, the journey that it has begun. So back in the early 2000s, I was in the fit, or and even in the 90s, we're going back a little while now. I was in the fitness industry. I had a couple of fitness centers in Sydney and in the city. And a good mate of mine, Dave Gray, he owns Elders Lifestyle Group. He said to me, Shorty, he goes, mates call me Shorty. Shorty, but there's a city to surf. There's a bunch of us doing this run, 14 kilometers from the city to Bondi Beach. Are you keen? Now, my background, I'm a surfer, I'm a swimmer, rugby player. So body's not really built for running, right? So anyway, we trained up, we did the process and we did the first city to surf. A couple of weeks later, he rings me up. He goes, Shorty, he goes, mate, there's a little thing called a half marathon. I said, what's a half marathon? Anyway, 21 kilometers. I said, why would anyone want to run 21 kilometers? Anyway, we trained up. We did our first half marathon together. That then led to another phone call a couple of months later. He goes, Shorty, there's a thing called a marathon. I said, mate, don't go there. Is that 42 kilometers? He said, yeah, 42 kilometers. Anyway, trained up, did the process. And that led to a bunch of marathons we did together. Anyway, a couple months after, he goes, rings, got another phone call, Shorty. You can sort of run. Like when I run, they call me the Shorty Shuffle. Like Cliff Young in the Ugg boots, the Willies. That's me. Not very fast, but I'll get there eventually. So he goes, I know you can sort of run. I know you can swim, but can you ride a bike? I said, what do you got in plan? He said, well, there's a little race in Port Macquarie called the Half Ironman. I said, well, what's that? He goes, a 1.8 kilometer swim, 9K bike ride and a 21K run. I said, is that in one day or multiple days? Sure enough, we trained up and we did that. And then guess what? Yes, that's right. The full Ironman comes out. He goes, are you keen? I said, why would anyone want to do that? Anyone? 3.8 kilometer swim, 180K bike ride, and a 42K run. We did six of them. And that sort of got the juices flowing. And then what happened? I was sort of looking out for, you know, the three modalities was a little bit of wear and tear and lots of training to involved. And so I looked at ultramarathon running and I found one in the Blue Mountains. It was 100 kilometers through the Blue Mountains. And sure enough, once again, followed it, trained the process and did that. And then I'd done a bunch of them in the time being. And what I'm realizing over this time from the city to surf to these ultras is the people that you hang around is that when I was getting to the 100 kilometer stage, I was looking back and talking to people who were training up for the city to surf. And that was so far outside of their context of why would someone train for a 100 kilometer race? Why would you do that? And so what I realized was that that was me. And the more I set my goals, the more I expand my context, the more I hang around people to be more, to do more, what happens? I was taken on this journey. And then what I realized is, okay, what else is out there? And that's when I came across the Big Red Run. Now, the Big Red Run is a 250-kilometer run in the Simpson Desert over 5 days. Now, the Simpson Desert is the world's largest paralleled sand dune desert. So if you imagine going down the beach on a big day and you see the sets rolling in the waves, well, the sets in the Simpson Desert were sand dunes. And so over 5 days, we had to take our own food, we cook every night, and we had to tackle these sand dunes day in, day out. And it was absolutely horrendous. And once again, taking me through that journey of expanding the context of what you can achieve, and this is why I'm such a big believer of your environment is so important, of who you're hanging around. Do they help you or do they hinder you? Do they support you or do they pull you down? The goals that you want to achieve, the people that you hang around, and once again, it's so important. So long story, but I think it shares context of you can achieve anything. It's just a matter of trusting the process, doing the training, and who you're hanging around with over time.
All right. So I've been hanging around Steve Carroll for a very long time, since 2016, and he's finally convinced me to go on that damn bike ride across Thailand, which happens in less than 6 months' time. So, you know, like I'll be riding 500 kilometers on push bike across Thailand. What advice do you have for me other than stop hanging around Steve Carroll?
So advice for you for the race would be, obviously, you've got a training program, which is totally fine. But I
do have a Peloton.
Oh, okay. So that would be really important.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. I would suggest getting a training buddy and actually hitting the road, because Peloton bikes compared to on the road, completely different. It's good for sessions throughout the week, but nothing beats facing the elements, because in Thailand, you're going to have the heat. You're going to have the wind. You're going to have the rain. You're going to have dogs barking at you. So preparing yourself for this, it's going to be so important. So having a training buddy is huge. Nutrition, trying out different things along the way, because you're going to, you know, it's important to eat to keep up your fluids and regular food, but also journal. Journal between now and once you go and each day over there, because you're going to look back and who you are now is going to be a different version of who you are when you've completed that. I guarantee it. You're going to go on a journey. Sometimes you're not going to like it and you go, blah, Steve, what has he got me into? Blah. But at the same time, once you finish, you go, wow.
Radio, well, I have that to look forward to then.
No pressure. Yeah.
Check in with you in a few months' time. All right. No, actually, that's good advice.
I'll hold you accountable.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I probably need to think about that training program, don't I? Okay. Good tip. That and the journaling, good tip. Anyone else who's doing the bike ride, that was for you too. Anyway, moving right along, I was recently on your podcast and you asked me a whole lot of questions about AI. So I thought I would take a moment just to see what your thoughts are. So, you know, like obviously we're sort of seeing technology rapidly transforming the real estate industry. How do you see AI impacting agents in the future of real estate?
I think it's exciting. I think it's really exciting, the impact that AI is having and can have. I think what it's going to do is really allow the agents to step back into the personal communication, where it allows to have those eyeball to eyeball, belly to belly conversations and not hide behind SMS, email. Like that will be done, I believe, through the AI platforms and even speech. Like you can see speech coming into the AI world, which is going to be a huge game changer. But I think what that'll do will actually bring back, and this is where it's so important for agents to continually to work on themselves on how to communicate effectively, how to have that self-awareness, to read body language and communication signs, to really take them on that extra journey, just to finish off the deals, to take buyers on that journey, and to really help the vendors move on with the next steps. So I think as a support structure, AI is going to really take agents to another level if they use it wisely and not hide behind it. Because I think it can really elevate an agent as, once again, that's the support. But if you hide behind it, then I think you're going to lose out a lot of opportunity.
Yeah, I keep hearing like a lot of people email me randomly and say, what's the best AI tool for prospecting? And I thought I'd raise this one with you and we could have a little bit of a debate about it, because there's one bit of AI with agents that absolutely terrifies me, and that's outbound calling 50 people at once. And even like I'm getting offers of sponsorship for AI-powered agents, but I'm resisting the dollar at the moment because I just don't believe outbound calls by an AI the same way that seller masters do it is good for our industry. What do you think?
I don't think it's good for the industry, but I think it's inevitable. I think it's going to be inevitable across any industries, particularly as it gets more powerful, particularly as it starts to build. And this is where I'm really apprehended about, particularly the baby boomers, because they're not going to spot the difference. Currently, right now, you can spot the difference with AI voice generated. There's a little bit of a gap in responses. They don't have the nuances, so to speak, the size, all those different things. And you can almost hear it's a little bit robotic, but I think that is going to change over time, which is scary. Totally get it. Because it's something I don't think we can control. It's just a matter of how do we not ride the wave, but how do we manage effectively so we can still have the, once again, I call it the eyeball to eyeball, belly to belly types of conversations. If that's getting in the car and actually knocking on the door, because AI won't be able to do that. But yeah, it will be a concern, particularly I think as the older baby boomer agents as well, looking to what's their next steps for them. If they're not managing, you know, the AI influx, I think it's going to be a challenge for them as well.
Yeah, I heard a statistic the other day which kind of scared me a little bit too, in that I think it was on a Gary Vaynerchuk video. Before the tractor, which is just a simple thing, before the tractor, 70 or 80% of humans were employed in farming, and then the tractor came along. Actually, I think I'm understating the number. I think it was higher than that, but I can't remember the exact number. But it was well above 80% of humans were employed in farming. And so I see AI as being like the tractor, if you like. And so I definitely think it means that there are changes afoot. But like as I said to you, I do think that the customers out there have got to trust the human more than they trust the AI. And yeah, I think we're both in agreement there.
And that's the driver, right? Unfortunately, you'll have a driver which can then oversee multiple people's work like the tractor has done, but there still needs to be a driver. You're still feeding the AI the certain information to achieve those desired outcomes and those desired tasks. But there's still, yeah, as you said, there still needs to be a driver in the whole situation.
Yeah, absolutely. So beyond AI though, what other technological advancements do you believe are important for real estate agents to embrace now in terms of, I mean, I read time management on your bio as well. So is there anything there that you're exploring or liking or some of your clients are liking? Like what else is there out there at the moment?
The biggest thing I see is there are so many different awesome platforms out there, like huge fintech platforms out there that's really helping agents. However, it's using them effectively and making the most of that time of setup and implementation rather than just getting in and thinking someone else is going to set up and going to run it. Take the time of whatever the platform that you're using to understand all the bells and whistles and look at that initial time up front of investing in it, creating the systems around it, creating the plans around it is going to save you so much time down the track compared to just ad hoc get in and just put some names and numbers in there. No, no, no. It's not like that. This is where these systems help you to really manage your time more effectively. And this is where I'm a big believer. It's, we all have the same amount of time, but it's where we're focusing it. And, you know, we've all heard of the ideal weeks and creating ideal days, which is, you know, stock standard within the industry. But the biggest thing that I see, and this is where I teach, is you've got your time schedules for certain activities, but there are actually certain characteristics that we need to tap into from ourselves to deliver on that activity. So what I mean by that is that when you're doing admin, right, when you're updating a database or getting contracts out, there are certain characteristics. We have over 500 characteristics inside of us, right? We have the characteristics of the lover, the hater, joy, sad, and all these confidence, persistence, discipline. And so it's looking at when do we need to draw upon these characteristics in the right time for the right activity? Because those characteristics, when you're doing your admin, you're not going to necessarily bring them into a listing presentation. You need to step into different characteristics when you're knocking on that front door, about to go into that living room. You want to be that charismatic, the confidence, the knowledgeable, having that understanding, that good listener, and compared to when you're doing your admin. And I think that is the biggest downfall when people, when they're mapping out their ideal weeks, their ideal days, it's who do I need to be in this activity? And what are those characteristics? Because there's a really great little exercise I love to share is that when you're going about to knocking on that front door, it's visualizing this yourself when you are those characteristics. When you're about to do that listing presentation, it's like, who do I need to be right now? I need to be this, 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 and this. Okay. Get in and actually feel those characteristics, feeling of confidence, feeling of knowledge, feeling of charismatic, feeling of a listener, and really embody those feelings. Because I guarantee when you open that door and you feel those, that person on the other side of the door actually feels that as well. And so they know that you bring the right characteristics for the right activity for the right time. So that's my biggest thing, is that you tap into who do you need to be, game changer.
Yeah, I sort of feel like that's a bit of the Todd Herman, the alter ego. Same thing here. When I step into the podcast studio, I might have been having a bad day out there, but, you know, yeah, 1,000%. So that was actually going to be one of my final questions to you, actually, is, you know, I know you're all about the work-life balance and things like that. What would be your best sort of methodology for being able to, I mean, other than that was a really great tip, actually, who do I need to be? But for managing the, I don't know, some people these days are calling it work-life integration, because real estate's one of those industries where sometimes you need to be on call at different times. But how do you approach that with your clients who want to have time out but still have goals, if you like? How do you manage that?
So we have a program called a 90-day transformative journey. And so what we do is that over the 90 days, we look at what's called the wheel of life. And there's 8 sections in the wheel of life. There's health, there's work, there's family, there's friendship, there's finances, investments, there's holidays and breaks, there's personal development, and there's new learnings. And so what we do in the wheel of life, we obviously, it looks like a wheel, and every area is a, what we call a spoke on that wheel. And what we do is each week we rate it, how did you go over 10? So 0 is like, not happening. 10 is like, yeah, we're killing it. And as you would tell, the wheel gets a little bit off balance. And so what we look at is that, okay, what do we need to do? And we look at 4 different areas when we review the week. What are my wins? What are my challenges? What are my lessons, both positive and negative? And what do I need to be doing differently? And if we look at the lessons, what happens is that we are creatures of patterns. We're creatures of habits. We have patterns on how to put on our shoe, how to brush our teeth. When we make love, there are certain habits and patterns that we have. And so when we can look at our lessons, we can say, does this lesson help me or does this lesson hinder me? Because then we can get into the belief work and start to change that. So as we look at each week, the wheel of life, and it's about how do we move the dial, just maybe 1 for this next week. And so this is where the big thing happens. And I see, because most real estate agents are high achievers, they've got huge goals, which is awesome, but it's not about going from a 2 to a 10. So what would be going from a 2 to 2.5 or 2 to a 3 for this week? That could be kissing the family as you walk out the door. That could be reading 5 pages of a book. That could be booking the next weekend away. Whatever it is, How do we move the dial? And what you notice over the 90 days is that the wheel becomes balanced, becomes more engaged on all aspects of life, and you're just in flow. And sometimes, yeah, like life, they throws curveballs, but when you can come back and review, it's like, I remember the Gregory story when growing up, we had the Gregories as a roadmap. You know, we didn't have Google Maps. You open the Gregories and you go, okay, I need to get to G7, all right, two streets left, then one street right, and then you're over on the bridge and you're there. Where now you've got your Google Maps and you're being pinged all the time. And so what we do is to look at those pings and constantly review. Because it's so important to constantly review how you're going, because that'll set you up on where you need to go for the next step. And not leaving this review process every month or every quarter or half yearly, do it weekly or fortnightly to know, okay, what's worked, what hasn't, wins, challenges, lessons, and what do I need to be doing differently? And just moving the dial one bit at a time.
Yeah, I love that, because you hear so many things about just take action, but you know, I've always believed myself that success is equal parts action and reflection. If you don't have the reflection, there's no point zooming off in the wrong direction.
So true. And that's why in the car, right, yes, we have a big front screen, but we also have a rearview mirror. And that rearview mirror is so important, because you never know what's going to come up your rear end, but also you need to know where you're actually been, so allow you to have a clearer view at the front.
But I'm not going to lie, you did give me a bit of PTSD then, thinking about the Gregories, because I was terrible. I was absolutely terrible with that thing. Like, I've got to tell you, Google Maps has been the best thing in my whole life. But anyway.
The number of family fights was just horrendous.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, James, it's been fantastic talking to you, and I hope me turning the tables on you wasn't too terrible. It's been great. And some of the advice that you've given is amazing. So thank you for joining us and sharing your wisdom and knowledge. If there was one thing that you'd like to leave the audience with, or one actionable takeaway, what would it be?
Review. Sit down, spend some time. I call it blue sky time. Sit down and really do stock take. Look at the wheel of life. Look at where you're going and just go, what can I do differently this coming week? Just by moving the dial one or two. Don't go to 10, just one or two. Power of the review will help you really achieve your goals moving forward.
Yeah, perfect. James Short, thank you so much.
Thanks, Samantha.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Elevate Podcast, with thanks to Connect Now. To stay in touch with all things Elite Agent, sign up for our daily newsletter, The Brief, at eliteagent.com/subscribe.